Well, desire and interest in your prayers this morning. We have probably not impressed anybody this morning with our ability to draw pictures, but anyway, artwork was never my forte in school. But what we've tried to draw on here, the ones that don't have this just smooth-looking circle-ish type things are, I want you to imagine that those are gears with teeth on them. And then we have a line up there with a bigger gear and then smaller various sizes. And then down here at the bottom, we have one large gear and then small ones around the outside. And then over here, we have, in mechanical terms, this is called a Ravenel planetary. So I don't expect y'all to remember that, but it has a sun gear, and there's two sets of planet pinions and then a ring gear around the outside. So I want us to think about how these kind of things work and apply it to ourselves and to the congregation in a spiritual aspect. The most efficient gear set is, by and large, is a planetary gear set. It's stronger by its weight and size. It has more inherent strength, and it's something that can be maybe even cheaper to manufacture. It's and for mechanical things. So some people that would try to be funny might say that planetaries were first mentioned in Ezekiel. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Ezekiel, and I would like to read about some wheels. And these wheels I want to read about are not, I'm not going to try to give you an explanation of the depth of this scripture. I read one commentator said that one of the rabbis, a rabbin's Jewish teacher of Old Testament, when he was explaining the vision that Ezekiel had, he ordered extra oil for the lamps because it was going to take a long time. So I'm not going to try to explain this, nor am I going to stand here and tell you I have a perfect understanding of this vision that Ezekiel saw, but it's in a vision that he saw, and he saw some wheels. I'd like to begin chapter 10 of the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to read starting in verse 9. He says, "And when I looked," this is kind of in the midst of his vision, "I looked and behold the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub, another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of beryl stone. And as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel." So a wheel in the midst of a wheel. So we have in a planetary, we have a gear or a wheel inside of a wheel. There's all kinds of comments about this, but they had an appearance that it appeared that they were, there was some commonality in it, all right? He says here in verse 10, "And as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it, and they turned not as they went. And their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and their wheels were full of eyes round about, and the wheels that they four had. And as for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel. And every one had four faces. The fourth face was the face of a cherub. The second face was the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. And the cherub were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river Chebar. And when the cherubims went and the wheels went by them, and when the cherubs lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. And then I want to skip down and read verse 22. And the likeness of their faces was the same face which I saw by the river Chebar, their appearances and themselves, and they went every one straight forward. So there's something I want us to get here, not that I have a deep theological explanation of this vision, but I want us to get the concept that in this vision he saw wheels within a wheel, and he saw these wheels were projecting his vision in a line. It said they went straight forward, and where the face looked, that's where it went. So wouldn't you like to think that all you had to do was to turn your face and you would automatically go that direction? Sometimes that's the way I drive. I go down the road and I look off to the side, and I've got to be careful or I will go that way, and I'll go up out of the lane that I'm supposed to be in. I get on the rumble strip and on both sides of the lane because I tend to go wherever my face is looking. But there, this passage of scripture, he's talking about wheels within a wheel. And so I was beginning to think, I've been thinking about this, of how if we have a gear set, and because I've worked on mechanical things, I ask that you bear with me, but we have gear things, and there's positive engagement from one gear to the next. It's not a maybe or kind of sort of thing. These things are engaged. The teeth of one gear, whether it's a gear that looks like this, a gear set that looks like that, every one of these have teeth like this that's positively engaged. And if one of these does not perform, if one of those teeth gets broken, that brokenness will translate through the whole gear set. All it has to have is one broken tooth on one little gear, and that broken tooth will cause a pulsation, and it will cause a tooth to break here and here and here, and then it will transfer, and pretty soon the whole thing, if you just keep using it, the whole thing, it'll get to where if this turns, this one down here is not turning anymore. It's because there's no engagement. And the same thing will happen here. If there's a tooth that breaks on one of the littlest wheels, or the littlest gear, it will transfer in, and pretty soon there'll be something that fractures on the big one, and it'll transfer to all the little ones. And this thing is no different. It's very complicated. And when one turns one way, and we have, for the sake of maybe clarity, there's a lot of functioning going on there, and it's sometimes it's really difficult to wrap your mind around. If I hold one set of planet pinions, which way does a ring gear turn, and is it speeding up, is it slowing down, is it changing the direction, all of these things. But the thing I want us to get to is, in this case in the scripture, there was no broken teeth in the wheels. And when one was turning, they were working in harmony. They were working together. There was a level of uniformity. There was a level of functionality. It says wherever his face turned, they went. And they went straight forward. There's a scripture in Proverbs that says, talks about our eyelids looking straight ahead, not turning to the right and not turning to the left. I like things to be focused. I like things to be purposeful. I believe God likes things to be purposeful and to have direction and have a motivating factor behind it. So he says, he's talking about these four wheels, and so I want us to turn now to Mark, the sixth chapter, and I want us to notice something that it said about Jesus. In Mark, the 6th chapter, Jesus had went back to Nazareth, where he had spent a lot of his time growing up. And we know that Luke records him standing up in the synagogue and quoting from the book Isaiah and saying that this is being fulfilled today in your ears. But here in Mark, the 6th chapter, we start reading in the first verse. He says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? So immediately, when Jesus began to teach in the Sabbath day, or to speak, it was in his own country. I believe this was in the Nazareth, most likely. There were those that began to offer some opposition. And those of us that fix mechanical things, we know that sometimes we know there's some opposition going on when we hear grumbling noises. We hear things, it doesn't sound like a happy little singing sound. It sounds like just a growl. If we come up to a building or a fence or something and we hear something that is growling on the other side, generally that's a reason for us to be cautious, is it not? And maybe we'll back up and maybe we'll peer over the top and maybe we will decide we don't want to go in there because there's a growl. And when we hear something growling, we know it's not working together. It's not like what Ezekiel saw. All right. Ezekiel saw wheels working with wheels. They were wheels inside of a wheel. He saw them going straight forward. He saw them propelling the creature in his vision. Why he saw that, I don't know. I'm not here to explain that today. I'm here for us to pick that as an illustration and to be able to apply it to where we're at in the kingdom of God today. So, in Mark, we find that Jesus went to Nazareth. He began to speak on the Sabbath day, and immediately there was some growling and some grumbling. What? Who is this? Where did he get this wisdom? How is he able to perform the mighty works that is wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? The only thing we know that he should be able to talk to us about is woodwork. But he's talking to us like he was the son of a scribe or a Pharisee or an intellectual of some sort. He's just a carpenter. I know that, and everybody else in here knows that. Then he says, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So what happens in any one of these things, that these sets of wheels or gears, what happens in any one of these things, assuming that the teeth are all in position, if one of them ceases to turn? If this thing ceases to turn and becomes fixed, it's stopped, what happens to the motion of all the rest of them? It stops. If it don't stop, then things start breaking and teeth start coming off. And I've had many experiences seeing that kind of thing. So, in the natural. But he says here, is not this the carpenter's son? And they were offended. They immediately put up their hand and said, in, you might say, whether they did actually or not, but they put up a set of resistance. I ain't listening. I'm not accepting this. Then Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin and in his own house. And he would there do no mighty work, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. So, what happened? The whole wheel within a wheel come to a halt, did it not? The whole process, the thing that should have been able to follow through. I know a man that grew up in a small community, and when he got through high school, and I don't remember just how long it was, if he went to school immediately to be a doctor or not, but he went to school and became a medical doctor. And I think that he's probably a very capable, talented person in that profession. And he probably could have went to a bigger metropolitan area, may have had some offers and some invitations to go to another place. But he didn't. He went back to the place where he grew up and went, opened a medical practice in that area, and he's been there for years now. He's become a fixture in the community, and he has a good reputation, and people, I perceive that they have a very high level of trust in him. They've known, some of the older ones have known him since he was a young boy, and he's older than I am now. And he's been there, a trusted member of the community. He probably could have made exponentially more money in a different location, but he came back, and we would have to say he's been good to his community. Jesus came back to the area that he was born, or not so much born there, but he was raised in Nazareth from a young boy up to adulthood, most likely. And he came back to Nazareth, and instead of them accepting him, and instead of him being a real blessing, and instead of him being able to see the cause of God to go forward there in Nazareth, what happened? The whole wheel, it stopped. It come to a stop. He was able to heal a few sick folks, is what Mark said, but no mighty works. There was no extraordinary display. He probably was able to perform more in the little villages around about Nazareth because that's where he went after he left Nazareth. So I want to ask us some serious questions this morning. I want us to ask ourselves, where are we in the wheel within a wheel? Where are we in the body of Christ? Where are we in our enthusiasm for his cause? Where are we when it comes to being instrumental in transferring the magnitude of God's grace and power and glory to those around us? Are we a wheel that will transfer and sing the song? You know, one of the most important things to do when you're listening to stuff mechanically is know what good sounds like. And there's times that we raise things up and we hook a little microphone up to something so I can listen to it with my headset while I'm driving down the road, and I've got a thing that you've got six microphones you can clip on different places. And, you know, when I listen to a differential and I hear this humming, singing sound, it's okay. It's supposed to sound like that. But when I turn and it sounds like a stick in a bicycle spoke, That's not supposed to sound like that. I know that's where my problem's at. So where are we in our, all of us here, we are to be a component of the machinery that's taking the gospel to the world around us, to our families, to our communities and our neighborhoods. And where are we in that? Am I the one that's growling and causing people to feel threatened? Am I the one that's locked up so the whole machinery comes to a halt? I'd not like for us to notice another verse in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And notice here what it says in verse 16. He says, "For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love." So he's talking about, we're going to read some more, but he's talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about the spiritual church. He's talking about the visible body of Christ here. He says, for the whole body, we are, by the grace of God, we are part of the visible body of Christ. We should be. If we're not, there's an opportunity for us to become part of the physical body of Christ, the visible body of Christ today. So he says here, from the whole, the body fitly joined together. Did you know that clearance and the fit of every one of these pieces is very critical? If there is too much, we call it backlash, between the gears, it will cause failure. And if there's an interference fit, that'll cause a failure. You know, if there's too much backlash between us as individuals, whether it's naturally speaking or spiritually speaking, it'll cause failures. It'll cause the whole machinery to collapse. If there is interference and we're rubbing each other the wrong way and we need more grace of God, that'll cause a failure. Things get hot in machinery when there's too much interference. There's no extra special oil that you can put in that'll prevent it. You've got to fix the clearance issue. So, in the body, the physical, visible body, it needs to be some, people needs to be able to listen and hear the humming of the machinery. This is working. These are people that work together on purpose, intentionally. And spiritually, they need to witness that as well. So let's back up and read verse 8 in the same chapter, Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Every one of us here, I believe, has a gift. Everybody has a gift. Now I'd like to skip down to verse 11, because there's some things there in parentheses that would be good to cover, but not for this morning. So let's go to verse 11. He says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And you may say, "I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not any of those." There's one that I think all of us in that list, I think all of us will find our place in at least fundamentally, and that's a teacher. Did you know that you can teach somebody something? Every one of us can. We have information. We have abilities that we can share with other people. We have experiences that can be part of the transferring of the power of God to the benefit of the whole. We can all fit that component. Maybe not as a teacher that someone would turn to with a big, difficult problem, but a teacher, someone that will and can share good, solid information. Every one of us are called to do that. He says, the reason for this is for the perfecting of the saints. What are we talking about? We're talking about the wheels within a wheel moving smoothly, harmoniously, being effective in the world that we live in. He says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There is a lot of things going on around us that would like to prevent the wheel within a wheel from being effective. There's all kinds of grit and grime and all kinds of opposition, whether it's unbelief, whether it's ridicule, whether it's just being incredulous that someone actually believes something. All of those things are, and they want to break a tooth. They want to cause friction. They want to cause a backlash between the wheels, between the gears. They want to cause us to come to a halt. That's the purpose of the enemy. He's laying in wait, seeking who he can deceive and who he can disrupt and who he can cause to stall out the whole machinery. You think today of... Thankfully, we have a few, very few, but we have a few in our world that recognize how important it is for the home to be intact and for children to be raised by both parents. We have a few people that actually believe that that's a good thing. And what else is being spewed out in our world? Is that that's not necessary. That's archaic. That's old fogey stuff. That's not necessary. And, you know, it wants to cause the perpetuate the dysfunction that we already have. But if we will be determined to find our place, you know, maybe you're in the, whether you're 14 or 64 or whatever, it doesn't matter. There, every one of us can find ourselves in a place that we need to develop and mature to be more of a component in the gear train. More of a component in the wheels within a wheel. We have things that happen in mechanical repairs. We sometimes say things had a scrap iron fit and they start making making noise. A gearbox can start making noise and it starts making little pieces out of big pieces. And I've actually taken things apart and just raked out a big handful of small pieces. And when you do that, it's not a good sign. There's a lot of big pieces that's been hurting in there. And you know, the enemy wants to come along and put a rock in our gears, break a tooth, and that'll make another tooth break. You know, all it takes is harshness, criticalness, fault finding, unwillingness to cooperate, unwillingness to participate, unwillingness to contribute. All it takes is just a little bit of that, and pretty soon you got a broken tooth. And I don't know about you, but another thing I've run into is somebody will want their tires balanced. Well, the thing about a tire balancer is, as a general rule, you can balance a square wheel. Literally, you can balance a square wheel. And it can be in perfect balance, spinning out there in thin air. But when you put it on the ground, guess what a square wheel is going to do? It's going to shake your car to pieces. You can balance a tire that's got a knot on it the size of a football, But you put it on the car and it's going to bounce up and down. It's just the way it's going to be. And we can be, feel like we're doing so well all by ourselves, but if we can't be part of the wheel within a wheel, you know, my drawing is not very good. That would not be a very smooth running gear set over there. I'm just here to tell you. All the teeth need to mesh properly, and all, some of those are not even concentric with one another. But if in a true set, it would be very effective. But all it takes is one tooth to get broke. And then the whole thing, it's not just one part that you've got to replace. You've got to replace the whole thing. And you know, the enemy wants a broken tooth to cause us to say, well, there's no use. There's no use trying. We're not effective. It's not working. You know how many times people have said it's not working and give up on their experience? A lot of people have done that. You know what would happen if we, as a little group of people here, said it's not working? What would happen? The ability to be a light and to reach out to those, it would be gone. Lord, help us not to do that. But you know what we have to do? We have to be willing to be part of that humming little gear set, to make the right type of noise, that singing sound, if you will. He says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We want young people to come along, and we want them to develop into a viable, contributing member of the wheels within a wheel, don't we? I want people to come in off of the street that haven't ever heard of Jesus Christ. I want them to be able to come in and realize they can be made whole and can be part of the wheel within a wheel, not a wheel off by themselves. You know what they call, I have a lawnmower that they call it a zero turn, and because it'll turn right around in a circle. And it has two wheels that drive it, and out in front of the mowing deck, it has two little wheels that just go wherever the lawnmower goes. And then it's got one in the back, and it only has one function, and that's to keep the back end held up. And they have a name for it because it can spin any direction at any given time. You know what they call it? A crazy wheel. Now, the enemy wants you to come along and you think that you can just be a crazy wheel. And I'm here to tell you that that's not very beneficial. He wants us to be a contributing member of the wheel within a wheel. The big wheel, if you want to think about it, is Jesus Christ. But we want to be a wheel within a wheel. And I don't know how many wheels are within the wheel. It doesn't matter. But there's room for every one of us. And the more wheels within a wheel, this is a very strong planetary setup. It can handle tremendous amounts of load. And the more wheels we have within the wheel, the stronger it will be. The more effective it can be, the more abuse it can handle from opposition, organized opposition from the devil. Jeremiah 12 in verse 5. Anybody know what that says? It says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, How canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? You know, I have mechanical things that, you know, I've got an old tractor at the house that it just starts incredibly well. It's old tractor. It's probably around 70 years old now, or pretty close. And it just barely turns over and it starts. And I drive it around once in a while and pull an empty trailer and maybe haul, pick up a few branches and stuff like that. And it's just nice to have. But I've tried to bush hog with it a few times, and sometimes I find out that everything is not, it's not ready to run with the horseman. It done pretty good just hauling a few branches, but when I get out there under the steady grind of mowing grass, it just can't hold up to it. You know, I want us to check ourselves today and find out, am I really willing to be a wheel within a wheel? Ask ourselves that. And then, am I in there, but am I just, do I just have a lot of backlash between me and my brothers and sisters? Do I have a lot of friction? Do I just feel like I can't really fellowship? Do I really feel like we need to ask those serious questions. You know, the Lord wants us to be to just be singing as we are doing our part. You know, if one of these components was disappeared in that planetary set that I've tried to draw up there, if one of them, you know, the strength of the whole thing fails, if you just took one out, decide, well, you know, let's see if it'll work with one of them missing. It'll work with one of them missing, but it just don't have the strength or the capacity. You know, it'll fail prematurely. Kind of like secondhand smoke. I grew up in a time when people didn't think that affected anybody, but they proved that's not true. When I was a boy, there was people that strangely thought they could smoke without inhaling. You ever heard that? That even sounded squirrely back then, and it really is squirrely. You don't smoke without inhaling, all right? Every one of us are important. And if we're kidding ourselves to think we're not impacting the whole. So what are you willing to do? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, 6. Maybe this will be the last verse we read. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 1. It says, we then, that's all of us here. Don't look at me and say, have you got a mouse in your pocket? I'm talking about all of us in this room when I say we. It says, we then, as workers together, with who? With Christ, with Him. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Has the grace of God been shown to you? It has to me. I know that I would not be what I am today without the grace of God. I'd be much more difficult to get along with. If you have a problem with me now, you would really have a problem if I didn't have the grace of God. And you too. All of us here, it's the grace of God that helps us to be able to work as a wheel within a wheel, where we can work for a common cause and a common good. And we're all part of the momentum. So let's not drag our feet. Let's don't allow ourselves to become grumbling and get a broken tooth. But I want to challenge us. We then, as workers together with Him, with Christ, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't allow the grace of God that's come our way to just be lost, of no effect. We want it to be effectual. We want it to be fervent. We want it to be on demonstration where others can see it works. We need to have the enthusiasm for the worship of the Lord. When we come here, enthusiasm to embrace those challenges when they come to us. Yes, we can all become kind of disoriented. We come discouraged. We can become lethargic sometimes a little bit. And that's why we come together, isn't it? We want to be uplifted. We come here, we want to worship the King, but we also want to encourage one another. Brother and sister, would you, let's put our heart into this thing. It's worth working for. It's worth dying for. Lord, help us to be faithful. I want to be whatever little wheel that God wants me to be. I want to be that little wheel within a wheel. I want to be able to go straight forward. As His head turns, I want to be part of the propulsion of His cause in the world around us. You pray for me.